World markets are on a selling tear after the Fed said the economy's really bad.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. European and Asian shares are down big time today after the Federal Reserve late yesterday expressed big fears about the U.S. economy. Numbers, please. Everyone is on a selling spree today. Markets are down more than 4% across Europe. The DAX in Germany down about 3.5% at the moment, but everyone else down 4%. Asian shares were much lower as well, anywhere from 2 to 3%, all following the lead of Wall Street yesterday, where markets tanked. The Dow lost more than 2.5%, down 283 points, to close at 11,124. Well, why all the sudden pessimism? In the Fed's analysis, it said the economy stinks. Yeah, slow growth, check. The abysmal housing market here in the U.S., check. No jobs, check. But what about the Fed's response? Why aren't markets bouncing back with news that the Fed is using tools not seen since the 1960s to reignite the recovery? The BBC's Andrew Walker is with us now from London with the latest on that. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there, Steve.
Why the big global reaction to the Fed's decision?
It is slightly curious in some ways because, of course, what the Fed is doing is taking action that's intended to stimulate the rapidly flagging economic recovery. So in some circumstances, the markets might well be expected to take that positively. This time, however, I think partly they're focused on the Fed's negative comments, the warning about significant downside risks. Also, I think there is an increasing feeling that although central bank action is probably, at the very least, harmless, there's an awful concern brewing, I think, that maybe they are beginning to run out of effective tools. And so the Fed's action, I think, has just made markets focus on that downside. There's been a few other little bits of bad news, particularly some manufacturing data out of China. But I think it's the Fed and the implications that the markets see from the statement that is really focusing their minds.
Andrew, we already knew that the economy isn't doing very well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You might well say, why on earth did the markets need the Fed to tell them that there are significant downside risks? They should have worked that out already, and I think they did. But we're into this kind of environment, I think, where an awful lot is dependent on sentiment, perhaps more than is usually the case. And so you do sometimes get markets responding in a perhaps rather unexpected way, and I think that's what we've had this time.
What about other central banks, Andrew, around the world? Will they react similarly to the Fed? Will more stimulus be put into the global economy?
I think probably yes. We've already had an indication a few hours before the Fed's latest move from the Bank of England that it's very seriously considering doing something. The European Central Bank is a little bit further behind on this kind of issue because it has actually been raising interest rates in the last few months. But the odds, I think, must be increasing very rapidly that the European Central Bank will reverse those moves before very long.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Andrew, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
A top Palestinian official says President Mahmoud Abbas will push forward with a vote on full entry into the United Nations. And the U.S. is expected to veto that proposal at the U.N. Security Council. After that, Palestinians vow to then go to the U.N. General Assembly, where a majority of countries are expected to vote in favor. Now, for businesses on both sides of the debate, there are a lot of possible economic repercussions. And reporter Daniel Estrin is with us now from Jerusalem with that. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
Who are Israel's main trading partners? What would happen to them if this UN vote goes forward as planned?
Well, Israel's biggest trade partners are the U.S. and European Union countries. The economy in Israel is pretty robust. Half of exports are in the high-tech sector. Israel exports computers and software and also technologies like drip irrigation for agriculture defense systems, which Israel's military often develops in connection with Israeli industry. So the U.S. and Europe also trade with the Palestinians, but to a lesser extent. Now, there's a fear in Israel that Palestinian statehood recognition in the UN could lead to public pressure on companies to stop doing business with Israel, and that could deal a serious blow to the Israeli economy. But in many ways, it's very hard to simply boycott all Israeli products, because then you'd have to boycott things like laptop computers, because many big-name computer companies build their products with chips developed in Intel labs in Israel.
Would this UN vote, Daniel, mean a change on the ground for the Palestinian economy?
Well, that depends on how the politics of this vote play out. I asked Palestinian businessman Ibrahim Barham how he'd feel the day after if the Palestinians do win the vote, and he said it would make him feel more confident to invest in the Palestinian economy.
Myself and most of the Palestinian business people will look for it positively, and we're going to invest more in our economy, and we're going to feel more secure because we're going to see that things are going to change, so we're going to see it a good opportunity for us as businesses to invest more.
But there are other factors here too. Congress has been debating for months about scrapping millions of dollars in aid to the Palestinians if they go through with this UN statehood bid. And an Israeli diplomat has also hinted that Israel could withhold transferring tax money it collects on behalf of the Palestinians. And Israel has done that a few times before. So without all that money, the Palestinian economy could simply collapse.
All right. Daniel Estrin joining us from Jerusalem. Daniel, thank you.
Thanks.
And finally, bouncers are big brawny guys standing at the doors of bars letting customers in to enjoy cocktails. A new location in Manhattan's East Village also hired a bouncer to work the overnight shift at the International House of Pancakes, IHOP, to keep the diners who enjoy too many cocktails under control. You know, it's a tough job. I just hope the guy's paid with more than just flapjacks. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, that's American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.